But first of all, I want to welcome back to the program after some absence. We're very happy to have Peter Hart back here. Peter's activism director with the Media Watch Group Fairness and Accuracy in Reporting, otherwise known as FAIR, and co-host of FAIR's syndicated radio show, Counterspin, which can be heard here every week. Peter, thanks so much for joining us tonight.
It's my pleasure.
I wonder if you would, first of all, give us some of your general observations on the late summer firestorm on this proposed Islamic Center a couple of blocks from the World Trade Center site of the 9/11 attacks in 2001. What have you seen the media do here, which has certainly contributed in no small part to all the attention this has gotten across the country and across the world?
I think it's one of those stories where you can see every deplorable tendency in the corporate media on display at one time for over a sustained number of days and weeks. You have a story that's really a non-story pushed into the mainstream media by shadowy and sometimes not so shadowy forces on the right. You have a mainstream media that, when confronted with this story, does little to unspin or unpack some of the bogus allegations, the fear-mongering, the Islamophobia that is at the heart of the story. And then you have successive rounds of coverage that look at it as a political controversy. So that excuses another day of engaging in this nonsense. Looks at it as a through a partisan lens, which Democrats, which Republicans are lining up on which side. That's, I think, the essence of this story. The shortage of courage in our political circles and in our media circles speaks volumes about where we are some 9 years after the 9/11 attacks and where we are in terms of how Americans talk about Islam and Islam and politics.
Peter, it seems that certainly one of the points of contention in this argument about whether this mosque should be located two blocks from Ground Zero in New York City is the character of this the man behind the mosque building proposal, and that's Imam Faisal Abdul Rauf. And he's certainly someone, while being criticized on the right, was an emissary for the Bush administration, having traveled to the Middle East on behalf of the Bush State Department at least twice in 2007. He continues in that role under the Obama administration. And how has the media handled the smears against this particular fellow, who seems to be an ally of President George W. Bush, certainly someone the right has great fondness for?
Yeah, I mean, the coverage has sort of vacillated between awful and terrible, with a couple of exceptions. And it's sort of frustrating to talk about this, because there's no issue here, really. So you are responding to this ginned-up nonsense. This is a Sufi imam who has no particularly strong political allegiances, certainly none to groups that we would associate with militant Islam, or even militant advocacy of a Palestinian cause or anything like that. There's really nothing to this idea that he represents a particularly dangerous strain of Islam. Far from it. As you mentioned, he was an emissary of the Bush administration. He's continuing in that role in the Obama administration. That's part of the reason he's not been speaking out, is because he's actually in the middle of a tour to promote the idea that America is tolerant of Islam, if you want to pile the irony on top of the rest of this story. So you have a character, a central character in this, who does not fit the bill. This story was pushed forward by a handful of right-wing bloggers and folks in the Rupert Murdoch media empire who decided that the way to make this politically viable and salient was to lie about every aspect of it. So we have a mosque that's not entirely a mosque, that isn't being built on Ground Zero, that isn't being led by a terror imam. There are long stories, you know, long-form journalism. You can read, I think, a piece in the New York Times, there was one in the Washington Post, that try to get at who this guy is now several weeks into this story. It's a little late at this point to try to set the record straight after you've let the narrative sit idle for so long unchallenged. But you do read these stories and you realize that he was considered a rather something of a bridge builder in the American Islamic community and in the political circles that he was a part of. So it's kind of shocking that the accusations would be leveled against someone like him, precisely because he was held up as an example of exactly the type of Muslim we wanted speaking out after 9/11 and spreading messages of interfaith dialogue and tolerance. This is exactly what this guy's been doing. A couple years ago, he was on a show with Glenn Beck, and they got along famously about the need to do this. When the Park 51 development was first announced, his wife was on Fox News Channel, and it was heralded as a good idea. The politics changed, and folks on the right saw this as a golden opportunity to find the kind of wedge issue they need to run in election years, and they ran with it. And the media have been trailing a couple steps behind, not really doing much of anything to unpack this completely bogus story.
I've seen clips, as maybe some of our listeners have, about Laura Ingraham, one of the talk show hosts on Fox News, really, you know, giving a fond blessing to the project some months ago, as you mentioned. So things change, apparently. And one of those things is a political contest, an election coming up this November. Tell us if you think the political motivation here, if any, is really predicated on the idea that some points could be scored by conservative Republican candidates in this November's important midterm election.
Well, you have two choices when you're looking at this story. Either the people who pushed this story did it because they simply hate Islam and want to spread false messages, or they did this because they knew it would be politically useful to do it. And I think the latter explanation makes more sense. The fact that you have seen this outpouring of anti-Muslim, anti-mosque protests in other parts of the country, in Tennessee, in Southern California, that goes to show you that they're trying to tap something deeper here, the kind of cultural resentment that you usually see in an election year, particularly in a midterm election year when you know that you need to come up with issues to excite your base, since the base of a party is generally who turns out in an election year such as this one. We know the Democratic Party base is less motivated to vote in 2010, and we know that the Republican base needs issues like this. So you have these stories where you can see Republican politicians across the country and pollsters and campaign advisors saying, listen, the way to campaign on this issue is to look at your opponent, point at him or her and say, listen, what's your position on the Ground Zero Mosque? They effectively want to make this a national issue. And I think based on the way the media have been covering it, it's a smart move. And I think a really tragic lesson in what kind of things one can do in order to run an election campaign based on fear and innuendo and nonsense.
We're speaking with Peter Hart, Activism Director with the Media Watch Group Fairness and Accuracy in Reporting, FAIR, also hosts the group's syndicated radio show heard here on WPKN called Counterspin. Peter, what about Obama's involvement? He decided at a certain point in time to speak out in favor of the mosque or any religion's right to build a building. But then the next day, of course, he was criticized for seemingly vacillating on that, saying, well, I never said it was a good idea. I just said it was a right that all Americans have. How do you think he responded to this whole controversy?
Well, I think this is one area where the right-wing pundits who are pushing this story have a point in that they have criticized Obama for vacillating on this issue. There are some debates about whether he did a complete 180 or whether he walked this story back or his position back. It's a bit of an academic exercise because I think it's clear that he changed the tone of what he meant to say. He went from making this announcement at a service at the White House with Muslim leaders, which I think was a very elegant and eloquent defense of religious freedom in America, not quite as strongly worded as New York City Mayor Michael Bloomberg's, but nonetheless it was a I think, a welcome relief for people who are watching this story thinking they had, the entire country had lost its mind. And then the next day he says, well, I wasn't speaking about whether they should build it, only that they could build it under, you know, the principles of the First Amendment and American freedom. That, you know, I think it's unfulfilling, and the right took that hesitation or that clarification and said, look, Obama doesn't even have a strong position on this. The idea that one can build this cultural center was not our problem. Our problem was whether they should. So Obama's basically lining up with us. You know, it's a bit of a stretch, but I think in some respects they have a point. And I think that's the great failure here on the part of political leadership in New York and nationally to take a strong position on this, I think has impacted the way the issue's been discussed. I watched one of the Sunday morning chat shows. You know, there were good things and bad things, and one of the good things was on the ABC show this week, you had the wife of the imam speaking, explaining their position, and then you had a New York rabbi who has worked with them closely on this, and they gave the kind of background to this story that you've been completely missing from watching television coverage of this. So it was gratifying. On one of the other shows, there was a point made that there have been very few outspoken advocates of this cultural center or of American Islam in general in the media debate. And I think that's a good point, that the one group we're not hearing from are American Muslims. That, I think, is a simple fact of the way particularly the television coverage has played out. Some of the print coverage has been a little bit better, but that is the point of view that I think is sorely missing from this debate, along with any sense of proportionality or rationality about downtown Manhattan, the state of development there, the fact that there are Muslim prayer centers throughout New York City, including one right where supposedly the ground is too sacred for that kind of thing to happen. It's a story based entirely on lies and innuendo and fear-mongering and Islamophobia, and that narrative that was set early on by those folks has really not been challenged adequately by the mainstream media.
Peter, one interesting thing happened in recent days, and as is increasingly the case, some important aspects of a critical news story is coming from the Comedy Central channel. We had Jon Stewart and his Daily Show bring out the fact that Saudi Prince Al-Waleed bin Talal, the second largest shareholder of News Corp, which owns the Fox News Channel, has invested some $300,000 in this mosque project called the Cordoba Initiative. So using the same yardstick as many on Fox News, linking one group with the other to accuse them of being terrorists, in a comedic way, Jon Stewart did the same thing to Fox News, saying, well, you know, how many degrees of separation is there between this guy who's being accused of being a terrorist and Fox News, which has this Saudi prince as their second largest shareholder?
That point was probably a stronger case against Fox News Channel or against this than any of the accusations being hurled about the people behind the Cordoba House, Park 51 development. There's really nothing to this story. You could make similar insinuations about people at Fox all day long, and I think it would make more sense than the nonsense that they've been spewing about this.
Certainly true. And I wondered if you connect for us this recent poll, which showed a sharp increase in the number of people around the country that thought Barack Obama, our president, was a practicing Muslim. It was about 18% who thought he was a Muslim and 43% in this poll that didn't know what religion he practiced. We had some Republicans on television responding to the question, saying, as they have in the past, saying, well, I take President Obama at his word, as if there was some question here. How do you think these stories link, the mosque controversy and this increasing number of Americans who believe Barack Obama is a Muslim? There seems to be a real deficit of facts in our news media that has contributed to both these stories.
Yeah, it's hard to figure out where or how much blame to put on the media in this in this situation in particular, it's very difficult to do stories that proclaim over and over again that a falsehood is a falsehood. You would hope that people had got the message by now, but I think when you're citing these numbers, 18 or 19%, you're talking about that part of the population that simply refuses to believe that Barack Obama is anything but a practicing Muslim who was born in Africa and has a forged birth certificate. That is who is speaking here. One of the fascinating things about this is that in a lot of ways, that is the hardcore base of the Republican Party, that 18 or 19%. I think it's a stretch to say this, but I think it's fairly obvious that there's a tremendous amount of overlap between groups of people who believe Obama's a Muslim and hardcore members of the right wing of the Republican Party. And it's important to remember and to observe, at the very least, that the Republican Party obeys that base very faithfully. There was a project months ago where a video blogger went around and found Republican Congress members and asked them, "What do you think of the Obama birth certificate controversy?" I think one perhaps stated that, "Oh no, that's a non-issue. He is an American citizen." They refused to answer or gave these kind of elaborate non-answers to the question, because they understand that at the heart of their party lies this belief that Barack Obama is not one of us and he's a foreigner, a practicing Muslim to be feared. That's a very telling indictment of, I think, where the Republican Party is, and also the fact that these lies are allowed to sort of fester in the political discourse, because they're not challenged by prominent Republicans, and they're sort of allowed to lie there by Democrats who don't want to take a position. I know some American Muslims have looked at this Park 51 controversy and said, you know, it just feels like you can come out and bash us without any consequences, us being American Muslims. The Democrats aren't going to stand up for us. The Republicans are going to participate and encourage this bashing. And it's hard to disagree with that sentiment. I think the past several weeks have shown us that there's a lot of truth to that idea that bashing Muslims is something that Republicans can do with very little downside, that the media aren't going to call them on it or call the conservative movement on it, and the Democrats are hardly going to put up a fight if they do at all.
It's interesting to hear the media reaction to some really vile statements that have come out from prominent Republicans like former House Speaker Newt Gingrich, who basically said that this mosque being proposed to be built in New York City, downtown New York City, was akin to the Nazis putting up a sign next to the Holocaust Museum in Washington, D.C. I mean, comparing an entire religion to the Nazis just seems to beg a very harsh response from, neutral media personnel, as well as politicians of all stripes, whether they be on the right or the left. But surprisingly, well, maybe not so surprisingly, we haven't heard a lot of criticism of Newt Gingrich, at least nearly enough for my taste.
Yeah, I think you'll see a lot of tisking from some of the more liberally minded pundits and maybe some newspaper editorial pages, but it's not going to get him disinvited from the pundit shows. He's not going to be barred from the network news, the network Sunday chat shows. He's going to still be a member of polite political society, because there's this idea that he still has something valuable to offer despite all the evidence to the contrary.
And what do you think about the international fallout? Certainly, however our media is covering this controversy in the flawed way we've been discussing tonight, I would assume that throughout the Middle East and throughout the rest of the world, America might very well need to hang its head in shame for what this this whole hullabaloo about this mosque is broadcasting to the rest of the world about our country and our, at least a large segment, a powerful segment of our population's intolerance.
I think that's a good point, you know, and I you know, you recall when Obama went to Cairo and made his, you know, what's credited as his speech to the Arab world, there was one strain of Arab reaction was, we'll believe this rhetoric when we see it. And what we know from the polling of Arab public opinion would suggest that the Arab public is generally dismissive of the idea that Obama presents much of a change in U.S. policy, particularly in in their region. I think that that sentiment is going to only be magnified and strengthened when you see things like this. I think a lot of Arabs who are paying attention to this story will look at it and think, you know, we were promised something fundamental changed in the United States. We were encouraged by that after 8 years of the Bush administration, but here we are going on 2 years into the Obama administration, and it certainly doesn't feel like America has changed all that much. I think that would be a natural reaction to this news. I know Arab media are covering this intensely because it is, I think, a kind of window into the type of intolerance that the election may have suggested was waning, the 2008 election. And, you know, you look at the fallout from this story, and it does make you wonder really how much has changed. If anything, it could suggest that things have gotten a bit worse, in the sense that the President of the United States now, to a lot of these people, represents the very forces that they think are attacking the United States of America.
Well, thank you for that, Peter. And speaking of forces of darkness, before you leave and we say goodnight, I wanted to ask you to comment about the significance or not of the revelation that News Corp, again, a discussion of the parent company of Fox News, the right-wing mouthpiece there on cable television, that News Corp, Rupert Murdoch's News Corp, had contributed $1 million to the Republican Governors Association. And we've had certainly many cases of big media corporations making large contributions to the political parties. Many times they try and balance those contributions out to hedge their bets, depending on who they think is going to win the election, and make broadcast rules at the FCC. But what's your take on Fox News' $1 million contribution to the Republicans?
I think the scale of the contribution is notable. $1 million to a governor's association is unusual. I think Howard Kurtz at the Washington Post dug up information suggesting that GE had donated a fraction of that to both major parties, governors' associations. Again, as you mentioned, you know, playing both sides in the hopes that whoever wins is going to remember that you were backing them. So the scale of it is unusual. The idea that this reveals something fundamental about Fox News Channel, of course, you know, if you've watched it for 5 minutes, you don't have any misconceptions about which team they're rooting for. So, you know, I look at it and think $1 million is small change compared to the in-kind donations that Fox News is providing Republicans and the conservative movement in general every night on their programming. But it is true that big media companies donate to political parties and to politicians themselves. That is a function of our democracy, unfortunately, and News Corp doesn't behave much differently than the others. They spread their money around. If you look at the way they've donated to politicians in 2010, it's actually leaning Democratic over Republican. I think it's $105,000 to Democratic candidates through their PAC to $74,000 to Republicans in this election cycle so far. It'll probably lean, I think, more heavily toward the Republicans as the election gets closer. But it's a reminder that the people who bring you the news about politics are often people who are putting money on the very politicians they're covering. That is, I think, a fundamental conflict, and one that we should point to all the media as being the guilty parties in that sense.
Conflict of interest writ large, I think, on that one.
Absolutely.
Peter, thank you so much for spending time with us on this array of topics tonight, on the mosque and Fox News and all the rest of it. I appreciate that, and I know certainly I and many of our listeners appreciate all the hard work you put in there over at FAIR, at both the magazine Extra and the radio show that we broadcast here, Counterspin. Before you leave, tell our listeners a bit about the website, what they can find there, and other resources.
Well, you can go to FAIR.org, FAIR.org, to sign up for our Action Alert Network. You can read the articles that have been appearing in Extra for going on 25 years now. You can sign up for the Counterspin podcast if you're not listening on WPKN, which you should be anyway. And really anything else that you want to know about FAIR is available there. The good part is that we give you reasons to lament the state of the media and also chances to do something about it.
Well, thank you again for being here tonight, Peter, and we'll look forward to having you back soon.
My pleasure.
Take care. Bye-bye. Peter Hart, activism director with the Media Watch Group Fairness and Accuracy in Reporting, and also the co-host of FAIR's syndicated program, Counterspin, heard here on WPKN. Go to our website, get the entire program schedule at WPKN.org.